Well, good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Zach, if we haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, and I have the pleasure of, along with Pastor Sue, being the pastor of this church. And I want to say it's such a joy to be with you this morning as we engage in this conversation with God together, because that's what we're really here to do this morning. Engaging in a conversation between ourselves and God. That's why we opened up with Tim leading a call to worship. While it was Tim who is saying those words, it's really a reminder that it's God who invites us into this conversation. It's God who calls us here to worship. And then we responded by welcoming one another and singing praises and lamenting and praying and giving together. And now we get to sit back and listen to God speak to us, which I know sounds maybe a little arrogant. I might have to say that you're about to hear from God, but I want to explain that quick. While I do believe he is going to use me, or I hope that he's going to use me and the words I say to speak to you, this isn't where the action is happening. This isn't where you're going to hear him loudest. You're going to hear him loudest down there and in here this morning. And then we're going to respond in prayer and in song. And then we give God the final word as he sends us out with his blessing. And I say all that to explain, while this whole worship thing, it may seem complicated. I put in a lot of work in this sermon. Sue put in a lot of work this week. Tim and the band put in a ton of work to get all this together. We have greeters. We have Michaela up there doing sound. We have Ray up there doing slides and then coming all the way down here to lead the prayer and then going all the way back up to do slides again. It seems like a complicated process, but stripped down, all we're doing is engaging in conversation with God. And today we're going to be talking about prayer. I'm guessing we have a mixed bag in this room. We have a lot of people that may have been praying their whole life and engaging every day in this practice. I'm guessing we have some of you who aren't as experienced with it, and maybe even feel guilty about where your prayer life is. And then I'm guessing some of you who just heard we're talking about prayer are kind of groaning inside, because what's the point of even praying? And let me just say, I get it. I think we have a tendency to overcomplicate prayer. I mean, what does it mean that we're supposed to pray to the Father, through the Son, and in the Spirit? Does that mean we never pray to the Son or the Spirit? Does that mean we can only pray to the Father if we pray through the Son? Does that mean we can only... What's the point of praying anyway if God already knows anything? What am I even supposed to pray about? Can I pray about the same thing twice? Is it okay to pray the rosary or pray to the saints or pray to my loved ones who have passed away? What about praying in tongues? Am I supposed to stand or sit or kneel? What do I do with my hands? It can seem complicated. It can be confusing. My goal today is to hopefully make you see it's not. What I want you to see most out of this conversation is that prayer doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be hard. And similar to worship, at its very core, it's just a conversation with God, a God who wants to hear from you. Last week, we started this new series called Habits That Help. The plan is to look at and practice these habits, certain habits that Scripture tells about that help us in our souls. Last week, we looked at what Paul wrote to Timothy. He encouraged him to train yourself to be, does anybody remember? Godly. Train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be like Jesus. And we do that through practicing these spiritual habits, these spiritual disciplines. Last week we talked about Scripture and how through reading Scripture we better position ourselves to encounter Jesus, to see Jesus, so that we can learn who he is and what he's done, so we can live and love more like him. And this week we're talking about prayer. We're going to do this by looking at Luke chapter 11. That's page 1480 if you're using one of our Bibles. As I mentioned earlier, prayer can often be pretty hard. To know what to pray about, to know how to pray, to know the things that you're supposed to say. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard someone pray. I mean, I did this morning when Ray's praying, and I thought, oh man, he's so much better at this than I am. And then there's the like feeling of inadequacy or inferiority that come with that. And the fact is that the prayer can be hard for me. My mind isn't wired that way. My ADHD doesn't like it when I take moments of silence to speak to someone that I can't see, to have a conversation with someone that I can't audibly hear speaking back to me. And when I do, I struggle to form cohesive thoughts. I mean, it's the reason I read off of a script every morning, because if I didn't, I would be all over the place. I get so lost, and that often happens in my prayer life. But I want you to know that if you struggle with praying, you're in really good company. And I'm not saying that about me. If I was the only person you're in company with, you might be a little worried. I'm talking about the disciples. They spent a lot of time around Jesus, which inevitably meant that they heard and saw him pray often, which I'm sure brought up a lot of the same feelings of frustration in their prayer life. And so one day, after hearing him pray, they went up to him and said, Jesus, will you teach us to do what you just did? And that's where we'll read. That's where we're picking up from. We'll hear Jesus' answer. Luke 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything. By the way, homes in Jesus' time looked a lot different than our homes now. Often it would be a house and then you would have a loft where everyone would sleep. And so to get up from that and go answer the door means awaking everyone in your household. And that's the worry here. The one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't give up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Thanks be to God. I'm going to try to turn this fan on before it was really squeaky, so. Nope. Okay. The disciples asked Jesus to show them how to pray. And his response was to give him the words of the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer now. That's not what it was called then. In fact, it was a prayer to help the disciples. So I think the first question we should ask ourselves about this is whether Jesus is giving them a prayer to pray or an outline for prayer. I think the answer is both. You know, I know people who say we shouldn't actually pray the Lord's Prayer because it wasn't given as a prayer. It was strictly given as a guideline for when we pray on our own. They would argue that we should always come up with our own prayers because true prayer comes from the heart. And to that I say, true prayer does come from the heart, but that doesn't mean it always has to be original. You know, I've officiated two weddings now since I've been a pastor, which isn't a lot, but both weddings, the bride and groom used vows that were written by other people. Does that mean that they didn't mean their vows? That they're any less authentic than people who wrote their own? Or that they love each other any less than other people who wrote their own vows? No, right? Of course not. So leaning on the words of other people, especially Jesus, doesn't mean that your prayer is any less authentic. It doesn't mean that your prayer is any less true. If you're new to this whole prayer thing, it might be a really great place for you to start. If you're experienced in this whole prayer thing, it might be a really good place for you to revisit. Looking at the prayers of others, having others pray with and for you, using scripture as your prayer. If you don't know what to pray or how to pray, that's okay. Let other people help you. Let them guide you. The point isn't how you pray. It's that you pray. But if you want help in how you should pray on your own, Jesus gives a great outline. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Notice that first word. Father. We pray to our Father. This is a parent-child relationship that we have with God. And in a prayer, we are speaking to our Father. Not only does this suggest intimacy, but it suggests complete trust. We can approach God like a caring Father because we know that we will be met with love and with grace. We can turn to him for protection and care. He is not unapproachable. He wants us to go to him. He wants to hear from us. But this isn't just an ordinary Father we're talking to. No. Hallowed is his name. Holy is his name. It's above and over all things. We're not communicating with a peer. We're communicating with a being who is unequaled in this universe. See, this whole prayer shows a believer's total and complete reliance on God for their care. First and foremost, because he can, since he is a mighty creator, fully capable and completely in control. But also because God will, since he is our merciful Father, wanting nothing more than for you to experience his love and his forgiveness and his grace, for you to know him as he is. So we can pray for these things. We can pray for God's kingdom to come and that this world will begin to look like that kingdom, that the poor will be fed and the sick will be healed and broken relationships will be restored. We can pray for our daily bread and that our daily needs will be provided for. We can pray for the forgiveness of our sins and acknowledge the ways that we fail to love God and love our neighbors in the way that we should. And we can pray that we're not led into temptation, but knowing that when we face times of trial, God will lead us through. We can pray for these things because through praying for these things, we align our will with God's will. You see, prayer isn't just because God wants to hear from us, but through prayer we submit our will to God and we're transformed through it. Through prayer, we become more like Christ. Now Jesus tells us what to pray for, but he also tells us how we should pray. And the answer is boldly. It takes a lot of nerve to go to your neighbor's house in the middle of the night and wake them up and their family up for 3 loaves of bread. But because of his audacity, his neighbor answers the door. In the same way, if we approach God boldly, he will answer. Now, the answer is not always what we want. And I think of some of the prayers I prayed as a high schooler, and I thank God that the answer isn't always what I want. But I also think of prayers that the answer is hurt. And I don't know why. But I know that he is a good God. He's a loving Father. And so even when I can't trust in his plan, I can trust in his character. Even when I don't know how he's working, I know who he is. I know he is a God who knows my pain because he's experienced what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to mourn. He knows what it's like to die. And he did all that for me. He did it for you. Jesus says, if you pray to the Father, you will receive something. It may not be what you asked for. You'll receive the Holy Spirit, the spiritual provision you need for making your way through this life, the one who enables you to have faith and trust in God the Father. And by the Spirit, we can lift up our cares to the Father, knowing we're in his hands, the hands that created and sustained the world, the hands that were nailed to a cross, the hands that now hold us and comfort us in our times of trouble. And so we can pray confidently and boldly, knowing that he is ultimately working things for our good. I want to close the story with a sermon with a story I heard from a pastor that I'm friends with. They had an intern who was supposed to lead their congregational prayer one Sunday. And they put in a lot of work in order to do it. He spent the whole week preparing for this prayer, writing it down, and then committing it to memory so that when he prayed it, wouldn't seem like he had written it down. And then Sunday comes, and he goes up to do the prayer, and he starts praying. He says, "Dear Heavenly Father," and his mind goes blank. And so after a brief pause, he just says, "You know, amen." And we laugh, but I think it's so beautiful. Dear Heavenly Father, you know, amen. He knows, but he delights in hearing from us. No matter how put together our prayer is. Just as a father delights when his child draws him a picture, it's not a masterpiece. The sun's going to be purple and there's going to be a bunch of squiggly lines all over the place for whatever reason. And yet the Father treasures it like a masterpiece because it's from his child. So we're going to close by practicing this together, by praying together. Sue's going to lead us in a prayer, and she will pray some things on her own, and then she'll give space for us to pray silently. And know that when you pray, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be a masterpiece. God knows. He wants to hear from you.
The Lord's Prayer has shaped the lives of Jesus' followers ever since he first taught it to his disciples. Rooted in Jesus' relationship to the Father, his prayer encompasses the whole of life, inviting us to pray for God's presence and power to change the world and to change us. For the next few minutes, we're going to pray together using the Lord's Prayer as a type of template. For some portions, we'll pray silently, and for others, I'm going to invite you to verbally express your thoughts with a word or perhaps a few words that come to mind. So let us pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, in that simple sentence, we experience an enigma, that of addressing one who is so different from us, whose utter holiness separates you from us, and yet you invite us to address you with intimacy. Lord, we admit that idea is a little scary, to acknowledge that the one who knows everything about us. Help us now in these next few minutes to shift our focus from all the distractions around us, be they the thoughts of the obligations and deadlines of this next week, or the chores we have to do this afternoon, or even the rustling of those seated around us. Holy Spirit, direct our thoughts to the wonder of being brought into the presence of God. kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we live in a world that is not as it was meant to be. Daily we are witnesses to the effects of war, injustice, poverty, cruelty, hatred, and sickness, as well as endless forms of pain, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. We pray for those who we love and for those we will never meet. We think of family and friends, our neighborhood, our workplace, our country, and those in other lands. So right now, we want to speak aloud areas of brokenness in our world and ask for your intervention and your mercy. Give us today our daily bread. Loving Father, we know that you are the provider of all that we need. We trust you to provide not just for our physical needs, food, water, shelter, health, but also our emotional needs for love, fulfillment, community, and our spiritual needs, grace, peace, and joy. Jesus, is a community of your followers, we offer up aloud a word or words of a need that we want to entrust to you. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lord, you know how often we fail to be the people you have called us to be. We stumble and fall, promise to do better, and mess up all over again. We have hurt others and offended you. We have been hurt and struggle with resentments towards those who have brought harm to us. Holy Spirit, as we sit in silence, we invite you to bring to mind those to whom we have harbored resentment or hatred, and move us to release to them, and that's to release them to you and that situation into your hands. Jesus, you died as a prisoner so that we could live in freedom. We bring before you in the quietness of our hearts the words, the actions, the thoughts that we have committed that have made your sacrifice necessary. God, we ask for your forgiveness, even as we are assured of your grace. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, we want to live the life that you intended for us. We know that you are present in the struggles and the temptations of our lives. With words heard only by you, we offer these areas where the evil one tries to entrap us by our addictions, our selfishness, discontent, or pride, in order to draw us away from you. Lord, hear our prayer. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Lord, we acknowledge and give thanks that you are ultimately in control, that you can bring good out of evil, hope out of adversity, and life out of death. To you, Lord, belongs all honor and glory and praise. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, as together we say, Amen.